Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Town meeting. With me tonight is Rob Spadafora, Vice Chair of our School Committee, and Scott Dunlap, our Project Manager on all of our buildings construction projects in town. The Reading School Committee and School Administration requests that town meeting transfer from the FY05 school budget $500,000 to the high school building project and $350,000 to the Barrows building project. Last year in this, the Reading Public Schools engaged in a very aggressive process to secure all appropriate funding from the Commonwealth Special Education Circuit Breaker Grant Program. In last year's budget, FY04, we secured over $560,000 in this program. And in this year, we have secured over $1 million in this program. We have offsets in this year's budget of $500,000, which we have to cover, obviously, with money that we've got in this program. And due to the fact of this, the money that we've gotten in excess of the offsets that we have put into our budget, money has been freed up in the FY05 budget, allowing the school committee to request these transfers. In the future, we do not anticipate experiencing this again. As what you'll see on Monday night when we talk about the budget, there's an offset in special education for circuit breaker of $900,000. We do not anticipate that this would happen again. It was a phenomenon that happened due to the grant program that came in last year, and also which allowed us to make these transfers in the fall, requested me to make the transfer in the fall, and at this point to make these transfers based on FY05. But one thing that you should keep in mind, that despite the fact that this involves special education, the special education grant program, in no way, shape, or form has one dime been diverted from providing all appropriate services to our special education youngsters. This is a grant program. We must spend the money first, then we get reimbursed for the money that we've spent. So in this program, not one single youngster has not gotten what is due, the services and all related services and education that is due them in their IEPs. It has not had one single impact. What it's done is it's freed up money within our FY05 budget that we would have spent for that. It's freed that up to allow us to have this opportunity both in last year's budget and in this year's budget. And that's why we make that request of you. We're able to make that request of you, fortunately able to make that request. At this point, I would ask Mr. Scott Dunlap, our project manager, to explain why we're making this request to go into those two budgets. Mr. Dunlap.
Mr. Dunlap.
Thank you, Mr. Scottini. At the Reading Memorial High School, as a reminder, and I believe that all of these numbers were also reported at the fall town meeting, the original contingency for the Reading Memorial High School was just over $2 million, $2,002,172. This town body made an additional appropriation of $350,000 to that fund. There was an ad alternate accepted to complete the second field or the practice field at the high school project. And our change orders to date total $734,084. This includes a $380,000 culvert project that we'll talk a little bit more about later. But essentially, it means at this point in time, the current available contingency for the Reading Memorial High School project is $1.239 million. The appropriation or the transfer that's being requested tonight involves $500,000 and would place us as what we've described at this point in project as the appropriate contingency target of $1.7 million to ensure that as we begin the phases of renovation within the existing Memorial High School building, that we have an appropriate contingency to handle any unforeseen conditions that may arise. At the Barrows Building project, we know that currently we've never been able to fund the technology budget for the Barrows School project or the furniture, fixtures, and equipment budget for the Barrows Building project. We know that we have $300,000 remaining in the Barrows Building project contingency. However, we know that we have change orders pending, which we'll have to negotiate with the general contractor, and therefore we want to ensure that that contingency remains in place to be able to complete the necessary construction there. We know that at the Barrows Building project, because the technology and the furniture, fixtures, and equipment have always been zero funded, we need to provide $100,000 for technology and $300,000 for furniture, fixtures, and equipment. And therefore, tonight, in order to make an attempt at funding those, perhaps use some of the contingency, but to assist in primarily funding the technology and the furniture, fixtures, and equipment budget at the Barrows project, the appropriation of $350,000 is being requested.
Mr. Spadafore.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Rob Spadafore, Precinct 8 and member of the school committee. Good evening, town meeting. You folks have heard earlier from the superintendent that we had a change order on the high school project. And this is schematic to show the culvert, which most people may have not realized existed behind Imagination Station, which is right here, that runs to Castine Field. While we were working on the project, we had a construction worker actually fall through the earth into the culvert. So we are currently replacing that culvert, and the cost is $380,000, which to date has come out of contingency. Based on your approval on this Article 4 and Article 6, the school committee has voted to indefinitely postpone Article 12 that speaks to covering the cost for this change order. Additionally, there's two additional years that we will be working on this project with the renovation of the science and math wing and then the demolition of the rest of the building. So we may incur additional cost for the Reading High project that we may come in the future if our contingency can't absorb it. But the school committee feels at this point, with a transfer that will raise the contingency level to $1.7 million, that we will ask you to support Articles 4 and 6, and we'll indefinitely postpone Article 12.
Mr. LaLasher, Finance Committee report.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. The Finance Committee on March 30th voted 6-0 in favor of this. We viewed the circuit breaker money essentially as being a housekeeping item, that the circuit breaker money comes into the school budget is appropriately spent on special education as it should be, and money that otherwise would have gone there is then pulled out as it is in this motion.
Is there further discussion? Ms. Phillips.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Moderator, and fellow town meeting members and community members at home. I thought it was time for a little review of the Barrows project, since I've been a supporter since 1998, and it's occurred to me that town meeting has been asked, this is the fourth time town meeting has been asked to supply more money to the project. In 1998, you probably all remember, we appropriated $6.5 million for the renovation, which included six new classrooms and a new gymnasium. In the year 2000, town meeting appropriated additional money because of the delay for $500,000, which brought the total up to $7.1 million. In November of 2002, in a school committee meeting, when the litigation was over, there were new plans that were shown to the community for Barrows design. It was redesigned the first time from what we submitted to SBA. In January of 2003, the town meeting warrant said that Barrows had been modified from the original plan so not to require additional funding. If you remember, Article 6 was the article that town meeting appropriated another $2.5 million to the Wood End School because of certain issues there. The project was underfunded when it first went out to bid under the taxpayer complaint. And at that time, it was deemed that the cost of providing adequate construction fees was $2.5 million more. So, and at that time, I questioned whether that was going to be enough for the Wood End School and if the Barrow School needed any more money as well. And this was the wording in the article for us to make that decision. That was passed by town meeting. In July of 2003, new plans came out for Barrows, which showed a different design from design number two and from what we submitted to SBA. In December 2003, the school committee, in a meeting, had to reduce the size and scope of the Barrows project, and it was a cost savings of about $600,000. At that time, it was also noted by the project manager team, of which Mr. Dunlop is hired by the school committee, they recommended another $197,000 to cover items that were not previously included in the cost breakdown list. In May 2004, school committee requested a transfer from town meeting when the Wood End School was incomplete to the Barrows project to the tune of $634,000, and again, town meeting obliged. Later that month, the bids came in for the construction of the Barrows Elementary School, and they came in at $6.1 million. Remember, we appropriated $7.1 million. In November of 2004, the school committee under Article 3 then requested another transfer of town meeting from the circuit breaker funds for what they considered a one-time revenue, and they thought the best approach for that was to include it in the capital project, namely for all the school construction projects. That gave Barrows another $200,000. So since we began the Barrows project, its long journey in 1998, and with the school committee's decision to do the new school first before the Barrow School, we have appropriated already $1.3 million for the project. Tonight we're being asked to consider another transfer, which results from the special ed fund for $350,000. I think it's good to keep it in perspective where we've been, what we've done so far, and what we're being asked to do this evening. Now, I would like to share with you, I brought this issue up at town meeting in November, and I'm not really sure that some of you understood what I said, and I just want to briefly review it. The reason I do not favor transferring special education funds into the school building projects because of this. This is on the Department of Education website under the title Circuit Breaker, and any of you can go into the website and read this. And basically what it says is the circuit breaker is new legislation that was provided to help offset the extraordinary costs of special ed, namely the costs of our community of over $29,000 per special ed child, which is mostly needed for children who go out of the district. And as some of you are aware, that can be a very costly endeavor for the district or for the parents who co-pay or whatever. The Department of Revenue, however, has made it clear how that money should be accounted for. And it says, and you can read it, maybe you can't, but I'll briefly say, the law provides that the school committee's budget recommendation shall exclude any instructional costs eligible for reimbursement under this program. Our school budget includes it. The law further provides that the reimbursements from the State Department of Education shall supplement local appropriations and prescribes the method of computation and the requirements to compute that. The city, town, or district shall establish a state special education reimbursement fund, hereafter called the fund, to be used as prescribed below. And I won't bore you with the other pages of this memo, but for some of you who don't believe that some of us know what we're talking about. It says the Bureau recommends the following procedures for fiscal year 04 and later. Expenses should be charged to the appropriate line. Expenses incurred should be transferred from the regular school budget as the reimbursements are received. Remaining reimbursable expenses should be transferred to the fund from the special education budget. To the special education fund. not to supplement school building projects. And ladies and gentlemen, it is for that very reason that those monies have not been placed in a special education fund is why we're discussing the extra $850,000 from the Circuit Breaker program that, by the way, was anticipated because it was voted by the legislature in June 2004. So Reading was well aware after July 1st that we were expecting that $850,000. It says, if the final state reimbursement usually distributed in July or August does not equal the receivable, the difference must then be charged to the subsequent fiscal year school budget. That means, ladies and gentlemen, that $850,000 should be placed in a fund and should be put in there for fiscal year 06, so that next year when the school department has a need for extraordinary special education expenses, that money will be there on top of what has already been budgeted for. The question came up about using revolving funds for this fund, whether this fund could be used as a revolving fund, and the Department of Revenue says no, that's not possible. Some of you are aware that this was a little controversial last fall because I brought the matter before the Department of Revenue.
When Ms. Phillips, you have 1 minute left.
When the school committee transferred the money directly to the building project, I challenged that with the Department of the Revenue, and the Department of Revenue assured me and wrote to the school committee that this money needed to be any money for building projects need to be appropriated by town meeting. And I ask that you would vote no on this so that this $850,000 could be left in the special education fund, requiring that the school department would ask $850,000 less of town meeting for the 2006 budget, which would make money available on the town side to fund the much-needed sidewalks for the Wood End School.
Is there further discussion? Mr. Spadafora.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. I wasn't going to respond, but Ms. Phillips reminded me of a couple points. One being that the Barrows project, we are way under the budget and what the state will reimburse us for the Barrows project. That number is correct from 1998, and I don't want to bore town meeting or lecture to you folks on the evolution of the Barrows project because I think you're all well aware of it. But we are entitled to 66% of the money that we put into the Barrows project back. So every dollar we put in, we get two back. So I guess Ms. Phillips' point on talking again about the issue that the superintendent spoke about earlier, the money that was refunded from the state, the circuit breaker that we were referring to, was money that we already spent for the special needs students. They're reimbursing us for that. So that flows back to the school department. In the school committee, finance committee, and our folks on the town side, the financial, have actually supported this, moving the money from the school department budget into the capital projects. It's a one-time expense. We cannot spend that for additional teachers because we're not sure it will be there next year. So it's a one-time expense that we're putting back into the project, and we think it's money well spent. Thank you.
Further discussion? Mr. Bob Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Bob Brown, Precinct 6. Regardless of how or if we transfer, I have a quick question. The money was for the culvert under the field. Why is this culvert paid for by the school department rather than, say, the DPW?
Mr. Scatini.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. The issue of why the culvert is paid for by the school department, I wish it actually was not being paid by the school department, obviously. But the reason is because it happened during the construction project. And the impact that it may have on the field that is going, the second artificial turf field, the impact of that, we did not want to risk any problems there. Also, Since it is on property that's adjacent to and within the area that was initially part of some of the work that was going to be part of the project, we felt it important to get the project done quickly, get it done efficiently, get it done as cheaply as we possibly could at the time to get the project done right. We do not want the impact on the environment. We do not want the impact to happen to the artificial turf field or the impact on the project as a whole. The culvert is where all of the drainage that goes from that site goes right through that culvert. And if that culvert is not healthy and working properly, there would be some problems that would impact the construction project as a whole. So we felt it important to take action and go forward.
Thank you.
Mr. Bill Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Bill Brown, Precinct 8. For the other Mr. Brown and the rest of the people, the school committee should pay for it. They put it in originally. In 1955, town report states that it was put in under the supervision of the school committee, which shows the Goya that they should stick to education, let Public Works take care of the rest.
Further discussion? Yes, in the back.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Ken Tucci, Precinct 8. I have a couple questions for the superintendent, if I could. If there were no school construction projects happening at this point, how would you recommend spending this $850,000?
At this point, the money that would be freed up, the process would be is that we would spend it within our budget. Some deficiencies that we have are already noted in the capital plan. I would address some of the issues that are in our capital plan. Whether it be facilities, whether it be technology, whether it be vehicles that we have. I would also spend some money on some additional curricular materials. But we're spending sufficient money at this point on curricular materials. We have a capital plan that's been laid out to school committee and to the finance committee. But at this point in time, the most important thing that's on our docket is the three building projects that we have that we're finalizing and working on. So you have some of the things that I would spend if we did not have the building projects. If we did not spend the money at the end of the year, it would go right back into free cash in the town.
Okay, so can you just elaborate a little bit more about why you feel it's more important to spend it on the transfer to the building projects than to the other priorities you just at least generally articulated?
One issue is that at the Barrows project, when we did go forward and grant the contract, there was no money at all for furniture, fixture, equipment, and no money for technology. That means no money for all of the desks that we put in there because we're keeping the desks that we currently have at the Wood End School. We're keeping those desks there. They're good desks. That they will stay there, so we don't have to move them twice. So all the furniture that we would need is necessary. The technology that's there is necessary. All of the library carrels and library stacks are all necessary. The technology that we want to put into that building is all necessary. So these are not items that are frills. They're items that are absolutely necessary to the project. The fact that we are under the cap at the Barrows project makes it a very frugal purchase. The fact that we're spending a dollar and getting 66 cents back on that makes it a very frugal purchase. So that's the issue. At the high school, the issue is obviously the culvert, which has taken a huge bite out of our contingency. And when we went initially, when the school committee granted the contract on the project, since a couple of issues came up regarding the cost of steel, the cost of wallboard, and the cost of what we had initially estimated to be the project was higher than what we anticipated by about $900,000. As the school committee granted that contract, there was sufficient money in there because we ended up using some of the money in the contingency, which meant it ate a little bit of our contingency project. This is a three-year project. The main years of whether we will use contingency are years two and three. We've not hit those years yet. We're still in year one. When we renovate, the new building is the most open time and the time when we would not need as much of the money in contingency. The second year, when we're doing renovation of the current math science building, that's when we need to look for to use for the contingency. And particularly in the third year, during the demolition year, if there's additional ledge that needs to be removed that was beyond what they could guesstimate was under the ground, and that would hit our contingency pretty hard. So these are some of the issues that we have. And in order to move the project along and keep the contingency healthy, and also to keep our FF&E, what we currently have in furniture, fixture, equipment, and technology, so that we can make those purchases and get that technology and furniture into the classrooms, we don't want to have to risk having to use either of those areas in order to replenish contingency. So this really keeps our products moving in a healthy way forward.
Okay, thanks. I understand. The other question I have is about the culvert then. If there was no Reading High School project going on and that culvert was found to be a problem, which I'm sure it is, what would have been the process to get the monies to fix it? Where would it have come from?
How
would
we have done that? I defer to town manager on that question. I think he'd have the answer.
Okay.
Mr. Heckenbeckner.
We probably do what Article 12 would do if needed, which is to request debt authorization and replace the culvert that way. I mean, we don't have $380,000 sitting around in spare cash.
Right, so it wouldn't have come from the school?
It would not come from the school. It would come from basically debt that would be paid for by the taxpayers and the tax rate over the years.
Okay, and so I don't understand why you're not going to go for Article 12 then to get that back. Why should it be the school project, despite my esteemed colleague? Thoughts on that? Why shouldn't that come from a different place rather than from school monies that are being hopefully spent on the construction?
Well, I think two things. As town manager, if I get somebody else to pay for it, I'd like to do that. But
yeah, I was really asking the school people about that since it came from
that side. I think the issue here is that the culvert project was initially requested to be in the scope of the school project. We knew when the high school project was being developed that culvert needed to be replaced. And as they cut that project back, that was one of the things that was eliminated. And secondly, I think one of the options is that the school department spends all but $380,000 of this money, lets it flow into free cash, and then we can appropriate out of free cash next year. It's the same thing. But the school department doing it this way, it can be put in for SBA reimbursement along with other things, and SBA will determine whether or not it's reimbursable or not. So it has that added benefit.
Okay, thanks.
Further discussion? Ms. Merrill.
Thank you. Dale Merrill, Precinct 8. As an attorney and as the parent of a special education child, a very different perspective on this. Thank goodness my child's about to graduate. My nightmare in terms of getting special education services for my child was minimized once my child was in an out-of-district placement. But I hear the special education parents who come to me today with their really horrific nightmares, stories about getting services for their children. And sometimes I want to break down and cry when I hear these stories. So I take strong issue with the fact that you're saying all the children, special education children in Reading, are being served. I know from my client base they're not. And frequently what happens is it's a choice for these parents of do they pay for a tutor, do they pay for an out-of-district placement, or do they pay the legal fees to hire an attorney? These parents have to make that kind of choice, and it isn't right. I hear stories where, in order not to deliver services when this divorce situation and there's both parents of legal custody, where the school department has threatened they'll use the other parent against the parent who wants to get services in order to not deliver services. I hear stories where the town is making parents pay for their own out-of-district placements. And these are children who need the services, who once they're in an out-of-district placement, their performance has improved significantly, and it's really made a big change in their life. I hear stories about teachers not being trained in special education. I hear stories that are very similar to the ones I experienced when my child was at Birch Meadow and then at Parker trying to get services for my child, of teachers not being trained in how to deal with the various special education issues. When parents come in to me today and tell me their child was locked in a closet because the teachers weren't trained in dealing with these special education issues, they weren't trained in behavior management techniques. I know this is true because I arrived at school on a number of occasions to find my child locked in a closet at Birch Meadow. I think that...
You have a point of order? Mr. Spadafore, a point of order.
I think some of these allegations are outrageous, and I think that the attorney-client privilege, Ms. Merrill should actually recuse herself from sharing client stories with the entire town meeting.
I am not saying which clients they are. I'm giving general overview. I think that these stories are absolutely outrageous that I hear repeatedly. This town has a long history of making people fight very seriously to get services for their special education children. And if people are lucky enough to have children who are regular education, who don't need these services, you should thank God. But don't take this money away from the children who really need this money. Don't put these parents in the position of having to choose, do I hire an attorney or do I hire a tutor to get my children services? Thank you.
Further discussion? Yes, Ms. Kane.
Diana Kane, Precinct 6. My problem is this $850,000 was applied for a grant for special education. I just can't understand why it's proper to put this into, even though it would be nice to add to our capital projects. I just don't think, I wonder if it's legal in the first place. In the second place, I just don't think it's proper.
Further discussion. Mr. Scatini,
Mr. Moderator. Let me just try and put a couple of things to rest. First of all, we have an absolutely fantastic special education department, program, and teachers in this district. As a town meeting member, may I speak as a town meeting member, Mr. Moderator, at this point, and not as superintendent? As a teacher, let me tell you, this school district is the best school district in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I'm a product. My first teaching day was here. I could not be more proud of our school district, and I take grave exception as an educator in our school district when such comments are made. Now, please let me put my head on the superintendent and address the question of the last lady. This is a grant program. It's a reimbursement program. It's not a program that takes the money directly in the grant and applies it directly to special education services. We have already budgeted this money. We budgeted last year and we voted as a town meeting for the FY05 budget. We budgeted that money. We voted for that money to be spent. That money was spent appropriately. And the state has said that they will reimburse us for money that we've already spent, services that we've already rendered. That money is then freed up. Additional money in FY05 budget. Money that we could spend, the school committee could spend, as it saw fit. They could spend it on any categories that they have. One of the categories that they've chosen is one that you have to approve of. They've requested that it go to two of the three building projects. And under DOR, it's one something that the town meeting must approve based on the request of the school committee. But this money is not money that goes directly. Notice it's not as if it were a grant. We have grants that are like this. The grant actually that you request has certain categories, and then when you get the money, then you spend the money on those categories, and you do not do it unless you get the money. This is a reimbursement program. The money has already been spent, and it has freed up the money within our budget. Within the whole budget, the entire budget as a whole, not just special education, but the entire budget as a whole, is freed up that budget so that we can request these transfers of you at this time. But it has not had any effect on special education. And had this been for something else, some other reimbursement for fuel, it would have been the same way. We would have spent the money on the fuel, got the reimbursement on that money, and would have freed up money within our budget to be spent in the way that the school committee saw fit. So the only connection of this is really that the fact that's where the source of the funds come from and why we got the reimbursement money. But this reimbursement money could have been for anything else. So the connection, though it's very difficult to understand, and because our special education is dear to many of us, we want to make sure that those services are rendered and we don't want money diverted. No money was diverted.
Further discussion? Mr. Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. And I'd like to thank all those people in Precinct 6. This is Gary Phillip, Precinct 6. Thank all of you who returned me to town meeting. I'd like to begin by going out of order from what I prepared in light of comments that were just recently made. First of all, I'd like to go ahead and overall approach you from this philosophical point of view. And that is simply to say this, that as far as I am concerned as a taxpayer here in Reading and a town meeting member, this is not excess money. It was earmarked for a specific need within our community. It was legislated for that purpose. Department of Revenue regulations interpret it that way. And what it amounts to is simply this, that we should, when it comes time to review the budget of our community, see a reduction of $850,000 under that line item that meets the needs for out-of-district and special ed extraordinary expenses. I think for those of you who heartily applauded the superintendent when he talked about the superiority of our special ed program, I regret that none of you have had, I believe, first-hand contact with some of the cases we have. I can think of one in particular where the woman had to hire an attorney, and as a result of the settlement, had a seal put on the settlement, and was told that she had to pay half the expenses for her out-of-district child. Now, there's no reason any of us should be in disagreement with something like that as being unfair, as being wrong, and as being something that we should fund and pay for. And I know, because I spoke to the mother since then, that this child has been performing this. And the reason, let me stop for a minute, just because of facial responses that I detect in the audience. The school committee doesn't necessarily hear about this litigation if it's not brought to trial. This is my understanding. But at the last minute, if a decision or settlement is reached, they wouldn't have cause to hear about it because it doesn't constitute litigation. I'm not an attorney, but I know what this individual had to go through. And it wasn't pleasant for her because it was a long, frustrating ordeal for the child that she loves and cares about, as you do yours. This money should stay in that fund that was recommended by the legislature and that was interpreted by the Department of Revenue as belonging there for those needs. Another remark made by the attorney for this particular parent was that they were considering class action litigation against the town of Reading because for special needs alone because our performance is so great in that area. But I hope some of you come to get acquainted. We did this as part of our service to others, but I hope some of you get better acquainted with some of the situations that exist out there. You won't hear about them in school committee if they don't reach litigation, because too often these parents are brought to the brink before services are finally being granted. The money should stay there. First of all, this is not a simple transfer of funds. Every one of you should see it as I do. That's my suggestion, that this really represents yet another appropriation for a project that's been funded and funded repeatedly. I don't know what it has to do with anything that the money was already spent. It was intended for that purpose, and it should go into that fund so that, again, next year it would be available. Also, when it came to... I've got to jump around a little bit because so many things were discussed. Over to the high school for a moment. Barrows. In the educational spec submitted to SBA for financing, that plan, I understand, included expenses for furniture, technology, and equipment. Why are we being asked to pay for it a second time? What difference does it make? How long ago? SBA allows for inflation on an annual basis to compensate for inflationary costs. What is it, 3, 4% annually? It's 3 or 4. I thought it was 4 in reviewing the feasibility studies we did in the high school prior to us doing the redundant schematic expenses, which were all trash, by the way. That $420,000 ended up in the wastebasket, as most of you know. But anyways,
Mr. Graham,
moving on.
Point of order.
Mr. Moderator, the subject matter of Article 4 is to amend the capital outlay plan. We seem to be straying far from the purpose of the article.
Point taken. Mr. Phillips, please stick with the subject before the town meeting.
All right. Continuing on, the problem with this article, I want to go ahead and challenge your thinking. I believe that the problem is at the crux of this article is simply this. SBA recommends that every community that does a building project have a school building committee. The school department assumed that responsibility for themselves. That's not a wise choice, because what this has done in effect is left us with a building committee that can far too easily access educational funds and divert them to outside projects. And here's what's altogether relevant. We have the same architect for both elementary school projects. We have the same school building committee for both elementary school projects. We have the same project manager for both elementary school projects. And in the course of these two
Again,
projects...
Again, Mr. Phillips, the subject is the capital improvement, the capital plan.
Yes, it is. It is. And we're being told that we need more money at Barrows when this present... school building committee, school committee, has allowed us to cut the new elementary school short before we were given all the features promised in that project and divert those to Barrows. And what that does is only serve to increase architect and contractor profits. We were not given the siding we were promised initially. We were not given the parking spaces we were promised initially. We were not given... the soccer field we were promised initially, and what this does is, by cutting that project short prematurely before all we were guaranteed was delivered, it only maximized contractor and architect profits. That's not fair. That's not vigilant oversight. And again, we're being asked to go ahead and fund the next project down the line when we weren't even given all that we were promised on the first project. We have classrooms at the new elementary school that are smaller than any portable ever was. But that's acceptable to the present school building committee. It's not right. We're being shorted. That money should stay where it was intended to be by the legislature and Department of Revenue. And I don't know if I understood Mr. Spadafora's comment clearly about 66%, but that 66% was based on $7.1 million submitted to SBA originally. And I don't understand.
Yourself.
Right.
So that number goes up.
Oh, right. But only to the extent of the inflation. No, I don't mind any input. Thank you, Mrs. Spadafora. But I fervently recommend a no vote on Article 4, and thank you for listening, even though you may disagree.
Further discussion? Yes, on my right.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Tim Curran, Precinct 8. I'd urge this body to think twice before taking any funds from the special ed program. I was a product of the special ed program here until I was able to get an out-of-district placement, and I don't know about any of the other allegations made today, but it was very difficult to find any help within the system. And I understand that some improvements have been made, but the special ed programs are a credit, I think, to this school system. I think we need to keep, you know, as much attention on special education as that we can. Thank you.
Further discussion? Yes, in the center, in the back.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Ken Tucci, Precinct 8.
I think an extraordinary charge has been leveled tonight that I don't want to leave just yet. So I have a question for the superintendent and each of the school committee members. To your knowledge, has there ever been a child, special ed or not, locked in a closet, placed in a closet, confined in a closet, ever?
No.
Anybody from the school committee?
Do we, Mr. Dahl, are you answering that question, or? Okay.
Pete Dahl, member of the school committee. To best of my knowledge, no one has been locked in a closet that I'm aware of. However, we do offer services in a closet. There are services being offered in a closet at Birch Meadow that we know about. And these are reasons why we built a new school, in order to, that students could have the appropriate services delivered in the appropriate places.
Further discussion? Mr. Slezak.